21 is what we're going to read.
Have a little bit of fun when we're Christians.
Today, we talk about sight and about sight, just a little bit about sight.
It's a good life living for
you. You know, sight's a very precious thing, isn't it?
Everything.
Look, go with me, if you would, to John, the 8th chapter.
You know, all your senses are very 31. Important to us.
It's where we'll just read a text this morning,
and then we'll
talk a little bit about being a disciple. What's a disciple look like? I hope it comes out the way I want it to.
But
I can't imagine not being able to hear or see.
Come out the way.
But there are many that can't hear, and there's many that can't see.
I mean, that'd be more important.
But we want to talk about it just a little bit this afternoon, and some types of blindness.
John the 8th chapter.
Let's read our scripture.
And the 31st verse is where we're going to read. A disciple is one who is instructed.
I'm reading the New King James again this afternoon. Then Jesus returned in the power of
the Spirit. A learner would be someone
who
professes to have learned certain principles from another and
maintains all the surrounding region.
He
taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant
and
sat down.
And
the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
The Bible calls it your holy conversation.
Father, today, once again, we open this word, the word of life.
Not just what you say, but how you live.
Ask God that you would anoint us.
Because a lot of people say it, but they don't live it.
That you would give us the right words to say, the right spirit
and
which
to
say it.
You need to understand whether you believe it or not, or whether you understand or recognize it or not.
We all know Jesus was a man.
Sometimes you're the only Bible that many people will ever read.
We know he was the very Son of God. So Jesus was only declaring.
And
we take it by faith, by the way. He knew it by fact.
And they should see Jesus in you.
He actually said later in another portion of Scripture that
we
have never seen and believe are more blessed than those that seen and those who are actually there. So we believe the Scripture without
learners
having been there. And
all
there are those that were there that didn't believe it.
And
we're about this
reason.
More blessed than them. Our eyes were certainly opened at one time or another. You know, he opened my blinded eyes. And I think that's what he was going to talk about here, more than just physical blindness. I think he was talking about spiritual blindness when he was talking here, when the Isaiah, even he was quoting the Isaiah there. And so, anyway, have you ever been to an ophthalmologist?
And I hope you, do you feel conviction?
You know how to say that word?
Since you feel bad about it. Well, it happens. But just understand you're in Christ today. Don't dwell there. Get out of it. Repent of it. Move on. Okay.
Optometrist.
But on refresh wants to
because they go
wants
they
to rear up every now and then.
They look further.
Be ugly.
They search for.
Oh, it's difficult.
John 8:31. Jesus said this
for the diseases.
Then Jesus
that
said
your eyes,
to those Jews who believed him,
"If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.
My pupils get real big."
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
It's like I'm looking at your soul.
Prior to that, Jesus had dealt with this
group
of Pharisees.
He can look in your eyes, and he can see whether there's
some religious fanatics, if you will, full of Judaism, which is their religion at the time, and still many that way. But they had caught a woman in the very act of adultery. I guess they are full of voyeurism also, because they apparently have been at the window. They were a bunch of peeping toms, apparently, because they caught her in the very act. So they apparently, before I never heard,
apparently
they were receiving
sometimes
type of
even surgeries required to
from
restore
this
your sight.
Act that they were viewing.
So,
in other words, they were
there's
full
when
of
person has
bile,
blind and they get their sight.
It
opens to them a lot of new worlds, new avenues of instruction, usefulness. I mean, you know, when you are blind and then you can see things change.
Well,
same
thing
spiritually when you and I would. How many of you were blind?
Somebody had to be watching.
You recognize that you were spiritually blind. You've not been physically blind,
so,
but you are
be going off
have been
the
spiritually blind, and a lot of us were.
But anyway,
I did.
So they
because
caught
our eyes
her.
What they used to be, or
they
we don't have
her.
The perfect eyesight
said
that we'd
about
like
the man.
To have. Actually, I'm having more trouble seeing distances with my eyeglasses on than I
I had to make a new plan. They caught her. They brought him to him, trying to lure him, trying to catch him, giving him what Moses' law says she ought to be stoned. And they were testing Jesus, of course. And he stooped down, wrote on the ground. And the Bible doesn't say what he wrote, as though he wrote, though, as if he didn't even hear them. And they continued to ask him, Lord, this is what Moses' law said. She ought to be stoned. What do you say about this?
Three and major
he just
types
stood up, looked
blindness.
At him, and said, "Who's you that are without
physical blindness?"
Sin.
Where
you
know,
pick up the first stone
the
and
country
throw it
at her. That Aramis said in a country.
Well, there was
of
none
the blind,
of them without
the
sin.
Man is king.
He stooped back down on the ground and began to write again. I don't know what he wrote. He may have begun to write.
They're the king. I mean, they can see
he might have wrote one of them's name down, and
no one else can do.
The Lions Club is a service club that gathers up or used to. I guess they still do that.
They gather old eyeglasses and they give.
I know that you were with so and so just yesterday
to people and help them recover their physical eyesight.
I don't know what he wrote, but something.
Because of the activities of that service club. But it's very important if you're physically blind, you'd like to see.
Eyes. I don't know what he was doing.
I can't imagine
he
not being able to see out of my eyes.
Doesn't tell you what he wrote.
Terrible.
But whatever it was in that moment of silence,
worse things,
they heard him.
I wouldn't want to be blind.
I certainly don't want to be deaf.
And they went away and left him there with that woman in the midst of them.
So he goes into a ascetic and tells her, Lord, woman, I don't accuse you. Where are your accusers?
I just want to hear.
But he said, go and sin no more. Now, that's
had
a new doctor
a short
to everybody,
meeting,
really.
You get to think about what
Christ
Melissa,
did. Send her away.
And
didn't condemn her.
Talk about
you've got to be born again, basically.
My two grandchildren
like, go,
we have
don't
to
go sin again.
Quit sinning.
What are y'all going to talk about?
Can we stand here at the door?
But so
no,
then
can't.
He gets into
go
a
outside.
Little bit argument later with
you know,
them. He says, I'm the light of the world. And there's, wait a minute,
you can't bear
witness of yourself. And he goes in through all these things. But there are a group of them. You can read the story for yourself in John 8. There's a group of them that must have believed him. And that brings us to our scripture today
and,
where Jesus said,
15
those Jews that believe him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples.
Hey, I've arrived.
But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Know things.
So there was a group that believed him.
No, I don't. I can't read
lips.
Can you
begin to do? So there's a group that become his disciples that day.
Looking right at me, I don't hear.
Begin to follow him like his 12 disciples.
I guess I am getting
only had a little bit further distance because he only had the 12 close associates, and then he had many other disciples. But they begin to follow him that day, and that's what he told them. So there are many. There are 1,500.
There's
physical blind in the Bible. 1,520. Ifs in the Bible. Did you count them all, Pastor? No, I read an article where it told me how many there were. I did a research. There's 1,522 ifs in the Bible, and all of them express a condition if one of them does. And so he said here, you are my disciples.
So there's worse things than that even. But he was blind, physically
if
blind.
If you abide in my word, you're my disciples.
And he could see just enough to aggravate you.
You got to do what he says. In other words, you got to read his word, know his word,
and
do it. So he never once encouraged his
and there's not so blind as those who
in the mere fact or in mere
have
fact
eyes to
or
see,
past
ears to
experience.
But they won't see and they won't hear what God has to say. And they are
really
blind because they are closed-minded. They don't want to hear what anybody's got to say. Closed-minded or the prejudice.
So
they just
said,
don't want a word
I've hit in my heart.
They got their minds made up.
And so
and they're
we
blind.
Know we read the word and we study the word.
And open their
we
eyes
bring
up
that word forward
them.
With us.
And
we
and
apply it to our lives. But Jesus
America,
says you
sort of
abide
like
in my word. So we don't rely on our past experiences. We rely on the new experience.
Well, I think they're blind.
Our new revelation.
They're blind to the facts of
the word of God.
So we get new revelation.
They're more blind than we are.
The word of God. If you read
anyway,
it, study it,
and so but there are people who are mentally blind because they've never opened their eyes.
It was already there.
Them. They don't
you
see it the way it really is.
You saw
so they're mentally blind, but they're spiritual blindness.
You're abiding in the world,
and Jesus dealt personally with the problem and repeatedly with the problem of spiritual
in the Lord
blindness.
They
he declared
the word,
only the pure in heart can see God.
They never studied the word.
Matthew 5:8.
And
he said, only the pure in heart
see God.
So he was dealing with the spiritual.
They don't never.
There are many people today spiritually blind.
They
even probably some still in our own world
they may have got
that are spiritually blind.
Distance,
they can't
they
quite see what they
the
need
journey.
To see.
Basically,
although they've
the same place
heard
they
it and they've been involved
ago,
it, or they're around
they
it, they still
saved.
Don't
still
quite
there
see what the Word of God says. They're blinded to the things of God. And because of that, they have a divided loyalty because
the truth
has not
set them free.
Many if you really can't see what the Word of God says, and you don't really want to grasp or don't grasp it, or can't set grasp rules it, or don't grasp it, then you're learned about Jesus.
Because you're not spiritually
haven't found out really about His grace,
or have your eyes open to spiritual things.
Then
you are still gravitating oftentimes to the world.
They're still relying upon the grace that
so you're
saved them
to faith to save them,
but they've not moved any further than that.
We need to have our eyes opened.
And you got to move
spiritually.
You got to go further.
Not blind, but
and so we're going
to
look at some
to the principles today
of God. We talked about that a little bit today.
And so
stay on the right path.
We don't want to have a divided loyalty.
I want to try to help you today.
Jesus
if I
declared
can.
The hatred.
You
caused one to dwell in darkness of
spiritual blindness.
Look at John, 1 John 2 and 11.
I say that.
And it says this
again. Genuine disciples obey the word of God.
But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and
does not know where he's going
because the darkness has blinded his eyes.
If you go to verse 9, it says, he who says he is
good,
it's
good for the
gander. And hates his brothers in darkness.
If it's good for you, it's good for me. If it's
he
good
who
for
loves his brothers,
me, it's
in
good
life.
For you.
And there's no cause
God's
of stumbling
no respecter of
in
person,
him.
So
why
you expect out of
so there are
preacher,
people
he
who
expects out of you.
I have
today,
a different gifting,
people.
A different calling.
Hate things.
The Bible says their
basic
blind.
General relationship with Christ
blind.
Is the same as yours.
And I don't want
I'm to be a learner.
Blind.
I'm
so
to be a disciple.
I want to
I'm
declare
to
you today, there's
I'm
no one I hate.
Him.
I'm to keep going
there's
forward
things I
in
don't
him,
like,
and so should you.
There's people I don't want to be around, but I don't hate them.
Amen?
So we none of us stop learning.
Brother Ryder and Sister
I
Haley
have no
Gale brought out
people.
A real good point about abiding in the vine.
That might be not
it's been some,
good.
I mean,
some
so back.
You don't want to be around, so you
very
may have
good
a little, point.
Don't hate them.
You got to abide.
Stay
in
away from them.
The
you understand
vine.
What I'm trying to say?
Very good point.
I'm not
point.
Trying to
so,
be ugly or mean.
So
I just
we
want to
go through five principles.
You don't
want to
be spiritually blind.
And, you don't want to say I love God, but
help
you
hate
just
your brother
a little bit,
or you
if
hate
I
this person over here,
or you're walking
way,
in unforgiveness towards
some
something
that
somebody's done to
you.
You
know,
have
without
to forgive
the anointing,
them.
It's just going to be dry.
Jesus says if you don't forgive, you
we'll
won't be forgiven.
We'll try to have some anointing.
Boy, that's a
Lord
strong statement.
Many people don't
want to. Well, I don't forgive them. I'm not going to.
I've heard church
and here we go.
Discipleship means that you work and the Holy Spirit works in you.
It may be difficult. It might be hard
in you.
And it may be something that really is really bad what they did to
you. Read the word. You attend the house of worship.
Open yourself back up to the same
available. You
think again,
school,
but you have
you
to
pray.
You
forgive
seek
them.
God. You do your part. Sometimes
Amen.
That's
you just
work.
You have to do it.
And you need to understand that. So you don't want to be spiritually
I read an article
blind.
Where
but there's
about
some
the life of Billy Graham
will result in
a
spiritual
magazine
blindness
about his life
today.
And one of them is
he
unawareness.
Was one of the founders of that magazine, by the way, back
have
way
you ever
a long
looked
time
at something
ago.
Under a microscope?
So he said this about his
if you haven't, you don't know.
He said, "I would rather
really is that's even much smaller than to miss my
daily
devotion."
I've never, you know, you look through
my daily time in the Word.
I'd rather miss my breakfast.
But you put a microscope
so
on
I'm assuming
there,
that he'd rather miss
some,
all of his meals for a day
on there, some
as
kind
to
of
skip
bacteria or
that
something
time
that would be,
with the
you
know, Lord in the Word.
So there's probably something
all the God that we would all get into
the Word
the microscope
and be diligent
right
as
here,
diligent
close
about
to
it as we are eating our breakfast
no, I'm just kidding.
And reading but our morning newspapers or watching the morning news shows.
But
you understand they put
whatever it is
under
we
a microscope
do in the morning
and
should not
and
you don't understand how
our relationship
that it really
with
is
God
and
you
with
Jesus
you
Christ
unaware
and
of our devotion
there,
to him
and
our
even
reading
if you look
and studying of his word
that we might
the
grow
there's things
in him.
Out there that you can't
so
see with the
naked
eye work sometimes
but yet it's
you gotta
there
work at it you got to put
you know,
some,
you can't
your,
see
your
it
best
put
foot forward. So we've got to move, however,
there.
Beyond
an
study and beyond
you
mere understanding of the word and
don't
be
know
really
inside of
your
body by
Colossians 1 9
or cats,
and verse 9 or 10
or one of them
and
things
read
that they
that
do to
just
you.
A moment
and
look at that.
I mean, because I think it might help you.
And it says this for this reason. We also, since the day we heard it,
I didn't know what all was in my body
for you and
ask
that you be filled with
the
knowledge of his will.
You know, like, it's right there. Don't belong there,
you
sir.
That? Paul said,
we'll
you need the knowledge
out.
Of his will.
And
all of
you,
us
I didn't
need
know
knowledge.
There. I was unaware.
And more importantly than just
because I was blind.
We need the knowledge
the fact
of the
that it was there.
Will
it
took
of
God.
Special
I've been praying
to see
expressively.
It.
And
so
recently,
so, God,
you show
me don't really
your
utilize
will.
The eye
revealed
even of your
to
soul,
me your expressed spiritual
will for my
will
life.
Not careful. There's things all around
you mean,
the spiritual.
I mean,
if
this,
we don't have
regardless
the right
of where
to
I am today.
We'll never
I need to know where I need
to go
tomorrow. I need to know the direction that God wants
available for us to
see. So there's unawareness of things. that's around. Then there's distortion. I don't want to stay stuck in the past because that's where I'm at and that's where I'm comfortable.
A blind man
I've got to know what God's will is and I need to be filled with the knowledge of God and I need to be filled with wisdom.
It says the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual tail and described him as being like a rope.
We have to have spiritual understanding. There was all distorted the knowledge of his will.
We need to be
full of the wisdom of God. And you say, well, I just don't know. I can accomplish these things.
Yes, you can. Because we're praying for you.
The word of God says you can. And if the word of God says you can, you can be full of the wisdom and the knowledge and the spiritual understanding of God. And it says he wants you to be that way so that you can be worthy, walk worthy of the Lord.
And sometimes people in the church have to walk worthy of the Lord.
Really,
if we don't study,
with Christ
if we
really
don't
is,
pray,
because
if we don't seek God,
really if we never read His Word, if we never apply His Word, you cannot get to that place that you're worthy of the Lord and fully pleasing
and so
Him.
They've never seen
I want to be in the perfect
so they have
will of God.
Distorted concept
I don't
of God
have
a walk.
I have walked in the
permissive
will of God, and I walk
in the perfect
will of God. And I am not willing to step out of the perfect will of God to satisfy my flesh.
I really don't know. To dwell in a perpetual darkness.
So that's why I pray, God, give me wisdom.
None of us would come.
God, fill me with knowledge of your will. Give me spiritual understanding. I
want to
walk worthy of you. I want to please you. I want to be fruitful in every way possible.
God,
increase me in the knowledge of you. Strengthen me with your might. Paul said, I pray these things over the church that you'd be strengthened with all might according to his power for patience, long suffering, with joy, giving thanks.
To God
and
has made us
so
worthy
to live
to be
in eternal darkness.
However, is a worse fate than being
of the inheritance of the saints
and
in the
many
light.
People that are eternally
come on, church.
Blind.
We can't be satisfied with where we're at.
Never see the light if we
God
don't
nowhere
help them.
Has disciples
so Christ
said,
wants
to get
to open
this
their
point,
eyes,
and
open
that's
our
all
eyes and
there
help
is.
Us to
you
see.
Never go no
he
further.
Wants them to see.
You've got to
anybody
understand.
Today,
you can constantly be growing in the Lord, and it takes the Holy Spirit,
the
Holy Ghost, working in you.
He even talks about
you working in cooperation with Him.
So there's give light.
To move forward
you don't light
in
a
God.
Candle and hide the light.
And
you light
so
a candle and let the light
I need
light
and
the
you
room,
need, and God wants us to
so
take His
see.
Knowledge
and so we need
that He's
to be
put in us
we
and
need
put
to be
it
the light
to use
shine
every
to the dark world
day.
So they might see Jesus Christ.
There's no
Amen.
Time for complacency.
You believe that today?
Basically,
so,
in this
so
day.
He wants to open
day,
our eyes and help us to see
we thought
that God
it was
is a God of love.
25 years ago,
grace
changed a lot
in the last 25 years. That today.
His world is a lot different than it was when I started
fasting. That you haven't recognized
a lot
that.
Of things have changed.
You need to. You
I mean, a lot of things.
Your view of God is distorted.
We've got
yes,
to change with that, but not change for the bad, but change for the good in Jesus Christ. I'm glad there's some things been struck down in the church. Some things have went away that the church believed in because it was erroneous and it was contrary to the word of God. It was man's way of control. But there are the God's way of control and God's rules that we must still adhere to
when
I, in
other words, obey.
I'm glad He's a God of justice, a God of love, a God of grace
we
and mercy.
Be
I should
a good
say,
disciple
thank
with
all
the
Holy
time
Spirit
for
working
and mercy
in us.
Your grace
Paul wrote
mercy.
To the church at Philippi, chapter 1, verse 9, and this I pray that your
through.
Love may abound yet more and
it
more as you
knowledge.
If you don't realize that,
you have
knowledge
and
you all
think of
judgment.
A big old mean
and,
God.
In other words,
a
knowledge is a spiritual knowing in the heart,
song about
mere
being
head knowledge. Paul says, I want you to have spiritual knowledge, a spiritual knowing,
you know
not
song,
just
you know,
merely head
about.
Knowledge.
I think that's
I need
a distorted
you,
view
Paul
of
said,
God is
to be involved in a personal
his
relationship
grace,
with
his love,
God than
his
just
mercy.
An intellectual
we need to get a
knowing mere facts
people because
about
we're behind
God.
The times
we need
in
to not
sometimes.
Just know
we
about
feel
God.
Sometimes
we
we're
need
not
to
careful.
Know
we see God,
God.
A big old God
just
with
as
a big
well
old
as we know our children. And God should be like Dwight Thompson's daddy used to say.
Really,
he said he'd hold up his right arm and he'd say, God is more real to me than my right arm.
And church
today,
want, that
we've got
you
to
understand
place that we
don't
believe in
God
like
God's
we ought to, and He is not more real to us than our right arm. Our right arm can carry through.
God ought to be more important to us than anything, anywhere, at any time.
He wants me to succeed. So he wants to open our eyes and help us to see the deadly nature of sin.
Paul wants us to be good disciples. God wants us to be good disciples.
It's all around us. We come in contact with it every day. We rub the shoulders with it every day. We view it on our TVs. We view it at the grocery store. We see it at Walmart. We see sinful acts and sinful things.
It may not be gross acts, but they're sinful acts.
They may not be immoral.
They do not discern good from evil.
You know it's sinful things. Sinful things being said. Sinful things being done. And we come in contact with that every day. We need to understand that God will open our eyes to see the deadly nature of sin. Because if you're not careful, rubbing shoulders with it, being around it, being influenced by it, will cause your eyes to be, your spiritual eyes to be blinded.
But still the truth.
Don't be blinded.
Secondly,
see that sin is still
discipleship.
Sin
it starts at the core of your being.
Still will destroy
provides you with supernatural, God-given power
that you might have
to obey Christ's teaching.
Have it more abundantly.
You'll have the God-given power
to obey
God's teaching if you will allow Him to work through you through
the
Holy
Spirit.
The supernatural of God.
So don't be blinded.
And obedience out of love for Jesus
and help us to see the abundant
life,
a life
of ever increasing maturity,
devoted giving of self for the welfare of
the Lord, to be
to
grow up in Him and not be easily swayed
by the doctrines of the Bible.
There's a lot of people, very easily swayed. There's some things that if they go to the right place and at the right time, at the very right moment in their lives, and somebody could tell them that Jesus is not the only way, they would buy that.
Passionate towards people, you want the best for others.
Although Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except me."
You want to see
they get somebody powerful like Oprah or some other person that
they think has authority and
within
and
the knowledge
over the years have come
and
to us wanting help,
and we knew that they
and discernment,
they were
and they would
church,
listen to her and say, "You know, you're probably right. There are many ways to get
come
to God
for help,
and
but
your eyes of compassion want to shut.
There's only one way to heaven. That's Jesus Christ.
I don't want to help you.
We talked about that recently about
the
wide way that leads to destruction, the wide gate and the narrow way, the gate and
you might get
the straight way, the narrow gate, straight way that leads into heaven. There's only one way." And that's Jesus Christ. And you must enter. But Jesus said, a sheep enter, you have to enter, the sheep know his voice. And he says, you've got to enter at the gate.
Hey, I'm going to help you, but you understand why.
You don't come in any other way. You don't climb over the wall. You don't come in the back way. You come in the gate.
So maybe
you don't tear down the wall.
Lifestyle.
You don't cut the fence.
So next time
come
I
in the gate
to help you, you'll be able to help somebody.
And if you don't come in the right way, you're not going the right direction. By the way,
the eyes of the Lord.
I don't want to hear about hell today.
He
I'm not going to preach about hell, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have a hell on earth,
world.
And you're going to go to hell if you don't start trusting God.
Any of you ever see any sinners
serving Him, serving Jesus, and treating Him like your Savior? Living for Him like He's your Savior.
Once a day,
and if you do that, you won't be swayed.
See sinners.
By the away from the
every
doctrine of the Bible,
day,
we won't be
house,
offended by the preaching of the word.
Shut up there!
If you if you leave your home,
you won't be.
You'll accept it.
You might
see
get
a sinner
right
somewhere.
Upside the head with it,
right?
And they're not
you
sinners
go
just
home limp
because the
you
know
got stepped
they're sinners
on.
Because they don't know Jesus.
You
Christ
won't be offended by
it.
You'll be glad. Oh, wasn't that a good sermon?
And we're not passing judgment upon them.
Well, he's slinging them rocks today. He got
their lifestyle because of the things they say, the things that they do, and
you're
not
trying.
But you need to understand they need the same Lord that you have experienced.
Is the Holy Ghost.
Same relationship with Jesus that you've experienced.
They need a relationship.
So we just need to stay firm and understand it. We don't want anything to separate us from Lord.
We can
from the Lord
to help them.
Second
he wants
chapter
our
three,
eyes and wants to open our eyes and help
10,
to see the spiritual
three,
resources that are available
though we
to
walk
those
after
who
the
walk
flesh.
We do not war after
there's
the
things
flesh.
God is in store
for the
us,
weapons of all warfare are not carnal.
Live a life
but
of obedience
so
through
God
to
the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ, bringing every thought into captivity
to
the obedience of
Christ.
Our weapons are very powerful
than I've got.
They may
have
a seemingly
better
life
and
have
more
fun,
it seems they may think, than I do.
No
but they don't know Christ.
It's all for nothing.
I mean, it's just pleasures of the
world. The Bible even says, every tongue that rises up against you, thou shalt condemn. We have power in the name of Jesus. We have authority in the name of Jesus. We don't need to give in to the
ridiculous plans and attacks of the enemy. He tries to convince you that he is all powerful. He's all knowing. He can do anything he wants to. But the Bible says he's nothing but a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say he can devour anybody unless they give him permission, because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And we understand that we our weapons are greater than his weapons. Yes, we're in a spiritual battle. Yes, we're in a spiritual fight, the spiritual fight of our lives. But our weapons are more powerful than the weapons of the enemy. And we need to understand that today, because our weapons come from God. Jesus defeated Satan over 2,000 years ago when he thought he had him in the grave and had thought he had defeated him. Jesus came up from the grave. He arose out of that grave. He descended into the deep. And then he took captivity captive. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from Satan, and he ascended into the right up to the right hand of the Father. And he is seated now in heavenly places, making intercession for you and for I. And if he's making intercession, he is there on our behalf to make sure that we are victorious in everything that we do that God has directed.
A glorious place.
Amen.
A great place to be.
So he's there. First, everything you feel like you chapter 6, verses 11 it'll be through worth 19, it to go to and here all very,
if you really look at this scripture, just a little bit different,
familiar with these scriptures, that God wants chapter us to have six, a good start at verse 10 instead of verse 11. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Now, we're disciples today, ladies and gentlemen.
We have been provided the supernatural, the God-given power to obey the preaching and the teaching of Jesus Christ. And so he says, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil here is simply that anointed cherub that fell. This is the ruler of the demons, the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. And he's opposing, scripture depicts him as opposing God's work, perverting God's word, hindering God's servant, hindering the gospel, snaring the righteous, and holding the word, the world in his power. But church, we are more powerful, and we are well able to overcome him by the power of our, by the word of our testimony, and by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, and because we have the weapons
at our disposal.
We need to understand that today. Be strong in the Lord. Don't let the devil get the best of you. Oh, we've already defeated him. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand, having your loins girded with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, take the shield of faith, which is
no matter what the suffering, no matter what the fiery darts
of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always in prayer and supplication.
I have prayed, but we don't supplicate.
You have not heard. Well, what do you mean we don't? We don't get down and dirty with it. That's what I mean. We don't rub our nose in the carpet and pray till our snot makes a wet circle. We don't pray till we prayed anymore. We just come and have us a little pity party, and we don't. And then we throw it all at the feet of Jesus and walk away without ever reaching the throne room of God.
He wants
churches, and we're
going to
have to get serious with our prayer if we want this whole armor of God on us, and we want to keep it. You know, the armor of God is all in the front. It's all about going to battle. It's nothing about running from the battle. It's all about going to the battle, running to the battle. And I'm telling you, church, if you don't pray and you don't get before God and you don't get to that place that you can have some stop running and secure running down your cheeks, and so they're praying with all sincerity, you're going to turn tail and you're going to run when the devil comes against you. You'll not be able to stand. You'll be like the children of Israel were many times. Have you seen these different? I've seen a story, a movie called The Patriot. And I like that movie. It's gruesome story, but it's about our early history.
And
the Patriots, the Rebel Army, as the British would call them, they would always, oftentimes, when they would come up against the superior force of the British forces, they would, after a couple of shots, a couple of bodies, they would turn tail and run because they couldn't load their weapons as fast watch TV, there's a Christian program.
And so they turn tail and
well,
run.
Yeah, you can. But see, people are blind to the law.
That's how we are after
soul.
The first couple
they
of volleys.
They don't hear what Christ has said.
If we're not where we ought to be, we're not in the Word of God. We're not being led to wisdom. We're not in spiritual discernment, spiritual understanding. The first volley that the devil shoots at you, you feel that. You feel that bullet go whizzing past your head. You see one of your friends fall by the wayside because they weren't strong at all, and they already gave up. By the way,
you're going to turn tail and run. Yourself, sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed, but you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. No other name can you be saved. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. So you can't redeem yourself. Many people try to get right.
Them fighters,
you know, people that they're doing a lot of bad things, so they try to get their lives right. I'm going to straighten my life up. It's usually an effort of futility. They just don't get it. They can't get it. And they can't get right with God without Jesus Christ. They may get out of the drug situation, and they may go to 12-step programs and get off of drugs, and may get off of, out of, you know, control their alcoholism, and they may even get their marriage straightened out. But they're still lost and undone without Jesus Christ, and they still need to understand that they cannot redeem themselves with their 12-step program.
You know, it might beat me down every now and then.
I'm not saying something
but
wrong
I'm
with
get right back
people
up.
Have been helped by
and
that.
I'm going to come right back up in your face. And I'm going to declare that I am victorious in Christ Jesus. My big brother's going to pick me up. He's going to put salve in my wounds.
And many people are blinded by the brevity of life.
He's going to push me right back out here
and the length of eternity.
And I'm going to tell you, I'll be like Rocky. I might get beat up.
Eternity goes on and on and on.
I might be a bloody mess spiritually. But I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to keep trying. And I'm going
to
keep swinging. And I'm going to keep connecting with my blows. Till finally I have him on his knees and yelling, throwing in the towel and yelling uncle.
It's a short life.
You can't do that if you
just begun at the moment you
growing
leave
in the
this
Lord
earth and
where you need to be.
Rapture or Jesus.
He's going to turn tail and run.
Takes you home by the grave.
It's not always easy, is it?
It begins and it goes on.
It's not always easy.
So
fact is, it's often hard.
And people are blind to the need of a new life and grace to live for God and others. They don't see it. They don't see a need for that. And, you and I have seen
I'll
that.
I'll tell you
aren't
what,
you
oddly enough, the trials that you face.
Oh, Hank Williams.
You face them with the right attitude. They'll rejoice in result.
I think it was the headlights of the car coming.
And joy.
Anyway,
and hope.
Thing I saw
and ultimately,
light.
It'll no draw you closer to the Lord.
Record that. No more in darkness.
I'm closer
no
to the Lord. Many of you are closer to the Lord
praise
than
the Lord.
You were a long time ago or even last week because you've come through some trials and you've come through some problems and you've had some situations and there's been some difficulty. But God always brought you through. God always has your back. God always caused you to be victorious and triumphant.
And
in Christ Jesus. And so you can trust God that He's going to bring you through. And you know you're going to face some more trials, but you know you're going to come through. And ultimately, it's going to result in peace and joy and hope. And you're going to grow closer to the Lord. And the closer you grow to the Lord, then the more peace you're going to have, the more joy, the more hope, and the closer you'll get to the Lord. And so it's just a continuing cycle. You're going to just grow to the Lord. No matter how tough it is, I'm just going to keep growing. No matter how tough it is, I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to give up. Romans 5:3-5 says this and said, not only so, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation work patience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so we're just going to keep on. God's just going to shed His hope in our lives. He's going to give us more peace. He's going to give us the Holy Spirit just to help us keep going. And we're just going to keep going. We're just going to keep plugging along. We're going to keep serving God. We're not going to give up. We're not going to quit like so many people have.
It's the greatest moment in my life when I know.
I don't know why people quit and give up on God.
But I rededicated
oftentimes they give up right when He's about to move for them.
Everything changed.
Right when they're on the verge of victory, they quit. Don't quit.
I was a new man.
It's not always easy.
That. Hang in there. I was a new man.
And fourthly,
different
we need to realize that we must maintain our pursuit. The pursuit of the Lord. We've got to maintain it.
Today.
Spiritual growth and health happen daily. So we need daily
time,
daily pursuit, daily time with the Lord.
God wants to open people's eyes to the wonders of the gospel.
Every day. Your mind ought to be on God even when you're closed.
And we need to demonstrate that in our lives.
Wherever you go, it's your job.
Where we go.
Your mind ought to be on the Lord and
You'll be thinking about him. You'll be praying in your mind, the Lord is always in your heart. And there'll be a prayer on your heart. And no matter what task you're about, you'll be thinking about God.
He's everywhere we go, and we need to show
pursuing
that with us and let our light shine before
him. My pursuit is him.
Well, we might glorify God.
No matter what it is, it's sort of like a consistent exercise program.
Open.
And diet that'll make your body healthier.
Don't be living in spiritual blindness. There's
no reason for it. There's no reason for you and I to be blind today.
But we've got the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ.
Just like the Lord, the more, the closer the exercise regimen of daily Bible study, daily prayer, and combined with an intense love for God,
the Word of God,
will results in prolonged prayer time that brings true intimacy with Him. So you grow in the Lord through your time of Bible study and your time of prayer, and you just get closer to God, and it's a constant pursuit. You never stop.
God bless you.
You never stop pursuing. You never stop getting closer to the Lord. And no reason a lot of people give up is because they stop pursuing Him. Why does a lot of marriages fall apart? Because the spouses stop pursuing one another. Oftentimes because someone at work, they start pursuing a relationship with somebody at their job. And they ignore the relationship at home, which is the most important one. Then they destroy families. Come on now. It happens all the time. You know it does. Why is that? Because they stop pursuing their spouse. You've got to pursue your spouse. You got to pursue the Lord. You'll stop growing in intimacy with Him. You need to pursue Him. It's an exercise regimen. 1 Timothy 4:7-8 says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." For this is my favorite scripture now today. "For bodily exercise profiteth little." He didn't say not to exercise. He's trying to make a point here. We need to exercise in the Lord. "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of a life that is, and that which is to come." See, it's not all about what is to come. It's about our life now. I don't need joy when I get to heaven. I'll have it. I need joy now. I won't need peace when I get to heaven. I'll already have attained it. I need peace now. I don't need these things later. I need them now. And when I pursue God, when I pursue Jesus Christ, when I exercise my spiritual giftings, I exercise my spiritual things that I need. You know, when you go to the gym, it's not all fun and games, is it? You go there to work. You're pursuing something. You're wanting your body to come into alignment, to lose weight, to strengthen your muscles, to make your body more healthy. And so you pursue that. And you change your diet so that you might can lose weight. You do different things. And it's not easy. It's work. Same thing here, because you're going to grow in the Lord. You're wanting to maintain your pursuit. You're wanting to grow healthy, spiritually healthy. So therefore, you get on a consistent exercise program, a spiritual exercise program, exercise regimen, so that you can grow strong in the Lord. Can't do it eating the little chocolate nuggets out of the Bible, the little M&Ms. Me and myself. You got to get in there and study the Word. Get the meat of the Word. Read. Pray. Supplicate. Work at it. And it builds up strong spiritual bodies. It's important that you do that. Consistently pursue Him and maintain that pursuit. Maintain what you can. Do what you can to have a healthy spiritual body. And then number five, you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. If you'll do that, you'll see obvious signs. As you allow Him to work in you, there's going to be obvious results of that. And if you don't see any signs, you don't see any obvious results that you've
you know, done the work of gathering knowledge to be the disciple, then you need to check yourself. If you're not growing in the Lord, then you need to do a spiritual self-check. Really pray and seek God. God, why am I not growing? Why am I still dealing with this when I've been, you know, why can I not overcome that? It's probably because you're not praying and probably not reading, probably not seeking God. And when you do read, you try to find all those really good scriptures that'll make you feel good about yourself. And you know, my wife put some in the bulletin today, by the way. Jesus is the bread of life. I like bread. Especially with butter on it. Plum jelly. Well, shucks, just anything sweet on it makes it good. Yeah, he's a light of the world. Oh, I love the light. I don't like to go outside in the dark, do you? I like light. You know, you start reading these things just to make yourself feel good. And there's all kinds of scriptures in the Word of God. And some of these right here are a little more tougher than what I was thinking. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people like to pick out the really good stuff, the really encouraging stuff, and nothing about living for God and nothing about crucifying the flesh and the affections and lust of the flesh. They want to pick out the things that just make them feel good about the life they're living. And the Holy Spirit doesn't work in that. He doesn't condone it. He doesn't. He just doesn't do it. So you've got to open yourself up, let God make the knowledge of the Holy Spirit a part of your daily life. Then you'll have fruit. If you really live for God, you'll have some fruit. The fruit of the Spirit will be evident in your life. And if you look at Galatians, the fifth chapter, I didn't mark that, but it's in my Bible right here, between 2 Corinthians, right after 2 Corinthians anyway, and Ephesians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You have fruit in your life. Fruit of the Spirit. You can explain it sort of like this. It's like an orange. It's not different fruits, different. It's like one fruit put together, held together by peeling, an outside source holding it together, Holy Spirit. This is the fruit of the Spirit. So you take that peeling off, that wrapper off, and you can peel them different. The orange, you take it apart, right? Fruit of the Spirit's one fruit with different parts. And it all goes together. You can't have one without the other because it's one fruit. Someone, well, I won't do this, but I'm not going to be long-suffering with anybody. I'm not going to show any patience. But I love them. I like joy. I'm full of God. I have the joy of the Lord. It's my strength. We got to have it all together. It's all one fruit. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17 takes it a little bit deeper, maybe. Chapter 3 of Colossians, verses 12 through 17, goes like this. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You mean I got to forgive them? Yep. What it says. If he wrote it to the church at Colossae, he's writing it to the church in Tecumseh. More specific, he's writing it to Countryside Pentecostal Church of God. If it's good for them, it's good for us. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It's the Gorilla Glue. It holds everything together. Amen? That's what it is.
And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also, you know, are called into one body, and be thankful. And let the word of God dwell in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in songs, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father. Then my next favorite verse is next, right after that. Wives, submit to your own husbands. We're just going to discount that one today. We're not going there. The Bible's full of instruction of how to live godly, wholesome lives. A life that's pleasing to God. A life that does well. A life that's full of grace and glory, brings glory to God. And that's what God wants us to be. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. Let God work in you. And you'll be successful. You'll look like a disciple. You'll be a learner. And you'll do well. And guess what? The outcome will be the outcome you are expecting. Because you'll know that you've done all you can do. You've served God with all of your heart. And when Christ comes again, my wife hates that. You've seen that commercial? I want Great Wolf Lodge commercial. Anyway, y'all hadn't seen it, have you? I watch too much TV. God's good, isn't he? He's good. All the time, God's good. And he wants the best for each of us today. Church, if you'll hang in there, you're going to get the best. And you're going to have a good life now, but you're going to have a life to look forward to. And that's a life with Christ in heaven one day. And then whatever you go through down here will be worth it to get there. But I don't just go through things. I live for Christ because I love Him. I'm grateful to Him for saving me. And I want to honor Him with everything I do. That's why I live for Christ, because I really love Him. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm thankful for His mercy and grace. There's a song I listened to by a group called Triumphant, and deals with most of some different things that Christ is doing. It said, but most of all, well, it's like, Lord, I love you. You know, Lord, I love you. But most of all, you love me. Lord, I'm thankful. You know, I'm thankful. But most of all, I'm thankful that you love me. It's not exactly the whole song, but basically it's what it deals with. Lord, I'm so grateful to you and you've done all these things, but most of all, I'm glad you love me. I'm glad you love me. And church, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you to death. Would you stand with me and, hopefully when I say he loves you to death, you understand that's just a phrase. It doesn't mean that he wants you to die at any time soon. Okay?